So open up your eye, she said. More, more, as she brought the bright light into my iris. Yes, it was my annual ophthalmology exam. And if any of you have had that bright light just keeps coming in some ways it hurts. And you say, and she goes up and right, left and right, and then she does the other eye. And thank God I had a good report. But boy, did it teach me some lesson. A lesson that sometimes the light is so bright that you can't see. When a certain way we take for granted the light of Christ, that we can't see what's before us. In the first reading, we hear those great ancient words that are reflected in today's reading, which says, then the eyes of the blind will be open. Some of you may be hearing Handel's Messiah these days in that great oratorio where the soprano sings beautifully, the eyes of the blind will be open and the deaf will hear. The promises of Elijah radiating through the centuries, coming to our mid-bleak winter evening, giving us hope, giving us a sense of light amidst the darkness. But in the second reading, we were told to be patient, patiently wait for this light. It's here, but in some ways it's not. The words of James saying, in a certain way, we need to hope for the light patiently. Easier said than done. But isn't Advent, or really mid-December, a time of patience? Those of you who are studying for exams are patiently studying in a way that you will be able to answer the questions or get the papers done. Or those who are preparing to travel with your families and friends at Christmas are patiently trying to pace yourself, aren't we? Trying to have that sense of, where is this energy? Where can I get the second or third wind around exhaustion? And in some ways, isn't this year a very exhausting year? We sort of can't wait till it ends and a new year begins. Well, here we have the good news of Advent inviting us to be patient, but also to see what's before us, the light of Christ, echoed in these profound words. Notice, nowhere in the Gospels do we hear Jesus ask so many questions. Six of them. What's Matthew trying to do with this Jesus? He says, what did you go out to the desert to see? Now you can imagine Jesus trying to say to his disciples, what do you think this is about? You think this is a game? Who do you think John the Baptist is? And a reed swayed by the wind? Question mark. Then what did you go out to see? He's almost as saying, what's your purpose in life, my companions? What do you think John is trying to offer you? Do you not see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Then why? Notice he shifts from what to why. Why did you go out? It's even more profound when one asks the question, why? Why are you doing all this? And we might be saying, he's saying that to ourselves. Why are you coming to church? Why are you journeying in Advent? Why do you go out of your way to worship? To see a prophet of John the Baptist. And then Jesus comes in. Yes, there's the answer. I tell you, you are coming to see the prophet who is preceding the Messiah. Matthew is presenting a Christ here who is sort of in dialogue, not just with his disciples. He's saying, here is the Messiah. And earlier in the gospel, we heard, how do I prove it? The blind are regaining sight. The lame are walking. Deaf hear, dead are raised. The poor have the good news. This echoes the first reading of Elijah. When you see this, you will know the Messiah is here. We are privileged to hear these words in the 21st century, where John the Baptist, notice what he says. Yes, John is the greatest of the prophets, yet the least in the kingdom. Why? Because you and I have a fuller story than John the Baptist. John did not live long enough to see the death and the resurrection of the good news. We have that privilege to know of the dyings in our life, in our world, in our gloomy world. It's all around us. And yet, what Jesus is saying, notice there is still the light. And in so many words, we're invited to be resilient despite darkness, to find hope despite despair, to find light that sometimes may blind us because it's so good. The news cycle so often, if it bleeds, it leads. It's doom and gloom. That's what sells. But a new energy is coming forth in the good news. That's what Advent, not just 4 weeks in December, are about. We are called to be adventing people, journeying, waiting, listening, looking, and finding the signs about us. We find it in children doing gestures. We find it when we see people reaching out to the homeless. We find it when we see diseases being cured and people helping despite the hurting of our world. It is, if you will, a positive, optimistic spirit. You know, the church's long history has been, despite our sinfulness, a continual movement of optimism. In the dark Middle Ages, in the monastic ways, and in the peasant world, they hung and clung to the faith that gave them hope. In our more advanced world, we are invited to do the same, to find those light, those little ways that gives us hope despite discouragement. This does take courage. It does remind us of that second reading, to be patient and be not afraid, because Christ has died and is risen. In so many words, my brothers and sisters, the words of Advent are really the words of Holy Week. And the movement of Jesus' death and resurrection that moves us and radiates our world into this mid-bleak winter evening. So whatever the darkness or whatever the discouragement, know that the light of Christ, the questions of Jesus are saying, I am with you. I am continuing to heal and heal, help people. And help people like you and me. In our darkness, in our discouragement, there is the light of Christ. And at sometimes it is good to have someone look into our eyes and saying, yes, your eyes are okay. You can see the risen Christ.